Hey everyone, my name is Jessica Brooks and I'm a first-year guard at Washington University in St. Louis on the women's basketball team. I was introduced to Lead 'Em Up this season as a way for our team to stay connected and grow through the ups and downs the pandemic has thrown at us. This program has had a major impact on our team as we've been able to pursue the green team mentality and actions in our workouts and practice. Personally, Lead 'Em Up has changed my own view of leadership and given me skills that help me feel prepared to take the next steps as the leader my team needs me to be. I can't wait for next season when we can hopefully win national championships and be a green team while doing it.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Today, I'm joined by Coach Kyle, our Southeast Regional coach at Lead 'Em Up, and we're discussing the topic desire versus direction. I think many of us, in fact, all of us, we desire certain things. We desire to incorporate a leadership program in our program. We desire to see our kids do a certain thing. We have personal desires. I desire to lose weight and eat more healthy. And we have these desires. And when the desires come into our mind, we begin to dream about the destination. We begin to dream about what's it going to look like. Man, I would love a program like this. I would love a family type environment within my team that looks like this. We have this desire. We begin dreaming about this destination, what it will look like when it comes time and when it is completed. But more often than not, Kyle, our desire never actually leads us to the destination. You know, we want it. We dream about what it'll look like, but it doesn't go there. It doesn't get there. It doesn't reach it. Today, we're going to be talking about this desire and the role direction plays into it to really help coaches reach the destination that they want to reach. And we're going to talk about a variety of things that cause us to get sidetracked. We'll also share towards the end of the episode five ways to make sure the things you desire to see play out and the dreams that you have within your program will actually become reality. Five things that'll help kind of cement that and help you guarantee that. But Kyle, I mean, the reality is our desires don't lead us to destinations that we often desire.
Right.
We get sidetracked.
Yeah, I think there's two things that for me, when I look back at myself early in my career as a young coach, kind of two things that come to mind is a lack of clarity and then a little bit of the paralysis by analysis. And so when we lack the clarity, you know, we have these grand visions of what success might be. And we can talk a little bit later on about the trap of comparison when looking at desire. That can lead you into paralysis by analysis. So you're taking so much in, but then what do you do with that content? What do you do with that information? How do you develop a plan? So, you know, like they say, the dream is for everyone, but how you get there is dependent on that direction. So excited to dig into this topic with you here
today. Yeah, I mean, so the direction, that's where the focus needs to be. The desire is great. The destination is ideal, but it needs to have the systems and strategies, the processes in place, the direction in order to get us to that destination. And without that, you know, it's really just going to wander. And I think about that from like a, we're talking about direction and destination. So it kind of plays into the traveling dynamic there, but there is a wandering. Okay, when there isn't a specific plan in place, a path to reach that destination. And there's too many coaches, I believe, that are still wandering. Now, I do believe, though, part of it is coaches do the best with what they know.
Okay? Yeah, I agree with that.
We all have the ability to desire things. We all have the ability, as you said, to dream things. That's available for everybody. But I don't think all coaches know how to set the direction, how to create the path, the guide by guide, step by step, a plan to get there. I think they have the vision, but I don't think they in many times know the path to get there. I don't know if they are able to kind of recognize that.
Yeah, I think that's where the value of mentorship comes in. And, you know, when I first started my career, mentorship looked a lot different than it does now. You know, for example, I was student teaching, not to date myself too much, or beginning my coaching career almost 17 years ago. And we're talking early stages of, you know, the internet. All these platforms that you and I have and these young coaches have today, they didn't exist. So you had to connect with a person or you had to have that mentor. But now we can talk about how all of these provide a little bit of that direction, but you got to have clarity of what you want. And it reminds me of one of our phrases in Lead 'Em Up is you have to listen to the voices that you know and you trust. And when you know what that destination is, those voices are going to help you find the direction needed to get there.
And what are the voices? Who are the voices in that situation?
I think it depends on your sport. You know, for me, being a basketball coach or a head basketball coach, obviously I leaned in a lot early on to the hardwood hustle, to PGC basketball, going to different clinics, listening to people like Don Showalter and things like that. You know, you can find the X's and O's and nuances there. For me, a lot of the coaching aspect always came down to some core beliefs that I got from Coach Wooden and then people that kind of followed that same model. So I think you really, it gets into a little bit then of self-awareness. You know, what is your ultimate goal in coaching? What does that ultimate desire lend yourself to? So for me, it's always been the background of leadership and character. You know, that's always been at the forefront. And you know, I'm sure we'll talk about that road too here today as well.
You know, it's interesting. And in the notes leading up to this, like 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February.
Right. I share that with my kids every year when we talk about this, because we'll use you know, John Gordon's one word. And I'll have them throw out numbers of like, all right, how long do you think these resolutions last? They're shocked. And I think most people are shocked by 80% by February fails.
And it doesn't, I mean, I get it. I understand why, you know, like most workout plans fail. Whole 30 plans usually don't make it the whole 30. Okay. Like all these things, right? The desire and the destination are great, but until we have the plans in place to actually execute them, it's going to fall flat. And, you know, sports are no different. And, you know what, for me, I think there's a couple things, and I'll kind of begin sprinkling in, the five things that I think will help us cement that, right? Because when I begin thinking about, for me, you know, even in Lead 'Em Up, we have destinations, right? You know, there's some goals that we have in place, and there's a variety of things that have to happen to allow us to better increase the chances of reaching it. First, I love the fact that we need to make it easy. We need to make it easy. Okay. And the goal shouldn't be easy, but the path to get there should be easy. Like we need to eliminate barriers that would maybe prevent us from reaching it. Anything that would maybe cause us to be going from rather downhill to now more uphill, anything that would cause us to shift that to have to be more uphill battle needs to be moved. It needs to be really easy. I think about leadership programs, right? Let's say you have a coach and they say, I want to incorporate a leadership program. I want to develop our players into leaders. I want that type of player-led leadership. We oftentimes look at another program in the county, in the community, and we often want that, right? Because we feel like their kids are different. They behave different. They respond different. I want that, okay? So the desire, I want this leadership program. I want that. The destination becoming that, what they see over there, okay, a team filled with players that do X, Y, and Z at a high level. Well, make it easy, okay? I feel, and I've seen that a lot of times, you know, a coach will want that, and then they want to take it on all themselves. Now, they've now put this major project on their shoulders of creating a leadership program from scratch, right? Of having to, you know, build ABC, put all the systems and strategies in place, build the whole thing, orchestrate the whole thing, facilitate the whole thing, and it becomes a huge undertaking. And before you know it, it's daunting and intimidating, and it slowly begins to lose momentum, okay, to the point where it kind of fizzles out. It doesn't really grow to the thing it desired to be, okay?
That was me. I mean, before I joined Lead 'Em Up and before Lead 'Em Up was actually in existence, that was me. You know, as a high school coach, I had four preps, coaching two sports out of the year. And I would go to clinics. I would go to conferences trying to just get anything that I could use, but it was on me to develop a plan. And so I modeled it off of a 10-week football season where it didn't necessarily have the substance that I wanted, but it was like every week I was trying to find something to fit into that folder to be able to use with the kids. And I think that's where a lot of coaches are. I think the desire is there, absolutely. But there's so much on their plate that if you don't have that direction, like you said, if it's not simple, if it's not repeatable, it's easy to get kind of lost in the shuffle there.
So we need to make it easy. That's the first thing. You know, if we want to get to that destination, let's not create obstacles. Let's not make it more challenging than it needs to be. You know, using the leadership program as an example, boom, you go sign up for Lead 'Em Up, you've got the whole program in place, all right? We tell you what to do. And I'm not trying to just pitch. There's a lot of leadership programs out there. Just simply make it easy on yourself. And the easier it is, James Clear talks about this all the time. If you've read Atomic Habits, right? The habits you want to see repeated, the habits you want to see influence your life, make them easy, okay?
He references in that book, and what came to my mind is when you said his book is the going to the gym reference, right? Of having everything ready the night before. And I think you've referenced the story of someone just going to the gym without even working out, just building those habits. But the night before, the shoes are ready, the water's ready, and all you got to do is just get up and get out the door.
Yeah, I mean, so just make it easy. So when we're talking about whatever that is that your desire is for your, you know, your team, that and you have this goal of a destination, like, okay, start trying to figure out how you can eliminate any barriers that would prevent you from reaching it, right? Or that could cause you to have an excuse to not pursue it, okay? Because when things become really easy, excuses become even cheaper, okay? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if I have laid out all my workout stuff the night before, okay, I got the protein shake ready, my gear's ready, my alarm's ready, all that stuff, and I still don't go, now my excuse feels even dirtier. You know, now it just feels even.
You can't look at
like
yourself in the mirror.
What?
So it's hard. You can't look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah. Now I'm just like disappointed myself. Like, man, I set it up so easy and I still didn't get it. Oh my gosh. So that's the first thing. Make it easy. The second thing that I'm thinking is become super intentional to the point where it feels disingenuous. Become so intentional to the point where it feels disingenuous. And let me explain and put some context around that, okay? I use an example of Kayla Smith from Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. All right. She does a thing for birthdays, and we will be alluding to it in a future episode that we have Kayla on, but she does a thing, and not to spoil that episode, but she has an incredible culture, and we recorded an entire episode around culture with Kayla, which you're absolutely going to love. It'll be releasing here very soon. And her work environment is incredible. And it's incredible because she does some incredible things to create it, to build it. But she also recognizes that's not necessarily her personality. She isn't necessarily like relationships over results. She's more results over relationships when you kind of have to break it down in that mindset. It's not saying she's like cold to relationships, but like she's a results oriented owner. Okay. She looks at numbers. She wants to see profit and all that stuff. She's had to become so intentional with the environment, almost to the point where it feels disingenuous, where it almost feels like it's not even genuine. Okay, because it's so set up with systems and strategies. For example, she's got a basket. I'm just going to use one example, a basket of birthday gifts, okay, that are in the office. with cards that have been handwritten in advance. Okay. That, and then every birthday is put into an Excel Docs calendar, a Google calendar of sorts, where she gets reminders. And then she's able to kind of tell a staff member when it's so-and-so's birthday to go through the process. And they've got a process in place written down, Kyle, about what they do to celebrate each birthday. Literally,
yeah, that's incredible.
Birthday, ABC's birthday, they get this gift. Kayla then will write an additional personalized note on the already handwritten card. They then do the balloons. They do all these things. And then they take a moment, they sing happy birthday with the team, and everyone stops what they're doing and they sing. And it's all written out and it's in Google Docs. And now it's actually going on where, like, even when she's not in the facility, someone else can run it and operate it. Okay. And it just goes. You could argue that that doesn't even feel genuine. You know, like, that feels more like robotic. That feels more, you know, disingenuous in the sense that, like, oh, does she even really care? Or is that just like a strategy? Okay.
I would argue that if someone didn't get that, now that you know that's in place, people are probably anticipating that. And they're looking forward to that. And like, that drives culture. I can't wait to listen to that episode, because I follow Kayla on Instagram and I see the stuff she does behind the scenes to make the workplace that special. But it does seem robotic. It may seem disingenuous, but in reality, people are like, I can't wait till it's my birthday and it's my turn to get that.
You see, there probably is that anticipatory reaction from the staff, from the team members. But what's happening here, and why I think this is so important, she recognizes if she doesn't, it'll probably fall to the wayside. Mm-hmm. She's got over 120 team members, okay? Much larger than any team that we coach. And life gets busy. Things get busy. If it wasn't set up strategically like that, it would get forgotten. Okay. And the reality is, she recognized, I have a desire to celebrate people. I have a desire to create an incredible work environment. I want my ultimate destination to be a place where people love coming, where love being a part of this team, where they feel appreciated. Okay, so my desire is this. My hope ultimately in the destination is this. If I don't do this so intentional, almost where it feels strategic and robotic, it'll probably get forgotten. I will probably miss out on my opportunity for the destination. This is what it takes for me to create the destination.
I think a great takeaway from that for our coaches, especially younger ones, or maybe even experienced head coaches, is, you know, notes I'm writing down from this. If I were to go back and be a head coach again, I would almost assign that task. I would delegate that responsibility. I think celebrating birthdays is so important. It makes people feel special. But that's a great little leadership nugget in this episode, is don't take it all on your plate as the coach. And you can give some of that responsibility and have other people help you get to that destination. So give one of your assistants the direction. Say, hey, I would love for you to create the document where we have all staff members, all players' birthdays here. And then you take the ball and run with it. But at least it's organized and it's not left to, a lot of the times, we won't find out it's someone's birthday until we see them share a social media message or we see a post on their story that it's their birthday. So, you know, that's a great little thing that we can do within our program, is just take that from Kayla's experience in the corporate world and apply that to our teams, delegate that responsibility, and people grow in their leadership within your program.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's leadership nugget. You must lead tasks before you can lead people. Too many people are concerned with the leadership title. Success is defined by when they begin to lead others. But each of us leads in a multitude of areas each and every single day. If we effectively lead the responsibilities that we currently have, it creates future opportunities to lead people. Leadership takes all sorts of different forms, and if you haven't started yet, you can begin your leadership journey today. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
See, Kyle, that point plays into my third thing, all right, about having others help with the process, because I think we burn ourselves out. You already admit it. You know, coaches have so much on their plate. When you have others playing in and playing a role, that helps us reach that destination so much greater. You know, the third thing I'm thinking is incorporate layers of accountability into it. Okay. And when you incorporate layers of accountability, this begins to hold you now more responsible for where you're trying to go. And when you begin to incorporate other people, whether it's delegating the task or simply making it, making them aware of it, now all of a sudden there's layers of accountability. It's not just you in your own head battling it, trying to get there. But when other people are part of it, one, it'll add additional accountability, but it also will add additional momentum. Okay, you see, because we always look at accountability in a negative slant, but accountability can drive us, and it should drive us, right? When others are holding us accountable, hey, how's it going with that? Any update on that? Like those types of things should be pushing us, okay? And we also should feel that conscious inside to not want to let down the people we've just incorporated into it, okay? So there should feel that pride, that responsibility that, you know, okay, I put layers of accountability in, I've told a few people, I've delegated a few tasks. Now there's other people involved in this direction as we are working towards this. I want to do great for them. I want to show up special for them. I want to drive this forward for them. And their accountability hopefully is going to push me to do that and going to eliminate or at least reduce the chances of it falling flat, of it not playing out to fruition.
I agree. That speaks to one of the things I have in my notes is there's value in community. And so when you have community, like you're speaking of there, you do want to show up special. You do want to do well for others. And then when you do that, you know, it's the law of reciprocity. Those team members are now going to do the same for you. And it just drives things forward. But again, you can't have that until people have layers of ownership. And once each person feels like they have ownership of the team, of the program, then they can begin holding themselves accountable. And once you hold yourself accountable, then you have permission to hold others accountable. But that sense of community, I think, is huge there.
And it plays into number four, which is along the same lines, but a little different. Make it public. Make it public. Okay, like if you are trying to establish a team of great leaders, a team with incredible character, that is a desire. You're dreaming of the destination of what your program will look like when that happens, when we reach that point, make it public. And when I say make it public, not just incorporate fellow coaches and, you know, delegate tasks and bring them into the fold, but communicate to your parents, right? Send a communication out to the parents. Send a communication out to your administration. Send a communication out to the community, whether that be on social media, right? Declare publicly what you are trying to reach, where you're trying to go. And when you begin to do that, now all of a sudden people will begin to look for progress in that. They would begin to be expecting updates associated with your progress. And now the pressure, healthy pressure, begins to grow a little bit greater that there's more at stake here. It's not just going to be some passing thought that comes in one day because we heard about it from a clinic and it sounded great. And I went home that day and dreamt about it, right? But there was actually going to be put more onus on that thought. There's going to be more weight on that, which is going to allow us to increase the chances of us reaching it. And the making it public is so, so critical. And it's what we always talk about with players and identity leadership. Right. I recently posted in our Lead 'Em Up private Facebook group about how important it is for them to have gear on, to have that Lead 'Em Up swag on, not because we're trying to make money on the swag. No, not because we, you know, are pressed to have them wear our shirts and make money. No, it's because when they make what they are doing and they declare it publicly, they begin to identify it. It becomes part of who they are, and they begin to own up to it and live up to it that much greater. And when you make some of these declarations public, you now are going to represent it greater. You're going to believe it, live it greater, because it's now been declared publicly who you are or what you're about. And we represent well what we represent. So if I'm representing leadership and I'm making that clear, I'm going to begin living that greater each and every day.
I agree 100%. My encouragement for coaches there and for athletes would be, don't be afraid to be misunderstood. Because I think when you put yourself out in that regard, especially when we're talking about building leadership, showing up special, having a special climate and culture, there's going to be people that knock you. There's going to be people that say you're not qualified. There's going to be people that say that you shouldn't do this, that you should focus on what they're there for, to teach the game or to play the game. And I face that. I know that there's coaches listening right now where that might be in the back of their mind of, I want to do this, but if I put it out there, what if it's perceived one way when it's not my intention? And the reality is, if we go back to desire, is you have the desire because it's been given to you and you see the big path. And what we can't get caught up in is how others perceive that. We have to kind of, and that leads to the second point, we have to stand by our convictions. If you really believe in it, and as you said, you have to live it out. You have to walk it out and not be afraid, because eventually the people that align with your mission are going to be there. And those that don't, they weren't meant for it. And that's okay. But that would be my encouragement to coaches and players there is, you know, stand by your convictions. Don't be afraid to be misunderstood.
And I'm glad you incorporated that in light of this make it public, right? Because that's where this plays a role. All of a sudden you make it public. Now you've got critics. You've got naysayers. You've got people who think they know it better, who think they've done it better, who've got a better plan, right? In most cases, they are far removed from the day-to-day details of knowing the nuances in the program. And because of that, I think their opinions need to be taken with a heavy grain of salt, okay? Because they do and are working with limited knowledge of the situation, okay?
Exactly.
So you appreciate their input. Reminds me of one of my favorite quotes, love those who don't want it and walk with those who do. Okay, so when people do begin to critique it, oh, they're spending too much time with that. They should be doing this. They should be doing that. Like, listen, love them, listen to them, but walk with those who want it. Walk with those who understand. Walk with those who are aligned, who are involved. Right. There's a delineation there where, you know, OK, I get it. You're over there. I hear you. I'm going to take that into consideration. It's going to kind of play a role mentally. I'm going to think about that in light of everything else. But, you know, I believe this is the path and this is the path I want to go down, and let's go. Right. And so be it. Leads to the fifth and final thing is invest in it. Invest in it. And that doesn't have to be financially. That could be time. But time or finances are primarily the two ways. Okay, time from you, time from your players, et cetera. But invest in it. Okay, if there's an idea, desire that you have, and you begin dreaming of the destination within your team, then begin putting time and effort into it. Okay, and the more time and effort you put into it, the more you're going to care about it. The harder it will be to walk away from it. And that investment will increase incredibly the ownership you have of whatever that happens to be. And for us, you know, the investing portion, when you begin to invest, you know, it changes the whole perspective.
I agree. And just kind of coming to mind there, it makes me think of compound interest, obviously, with investing. But the best time to invest in leadership in your players was probably yesterday. Today's the best next day. And it kind of goes back to conversations in a previous episode that you had with Coach Rastogi, but the value of having that type of program in place or investing in younger players, because we don't want to wait till they're seniors. We don't want to leave it till it's that year. So I think the earlier you start that investment with the people that are on your team or in your program, the better. And age shouldn't be a factor in that. If we invest early and often, we're going to continually reap the benefits and not just one year with one team.
Yeah. So whether it's an upfront investment or just investment over time, though, begins to deepen the roots of what it is you're trying to accomplish. I think about one of our programs, Walter Johnson Football. Shout out to Coach Larry Hurd, who's been a major supporter of Lead 'Em Up. His desire is to have a family environment, right? He uses the phrase, forget about me, I love you. Family, F-A-M-I-L-Y. It's blasted on all his shirts. It's blasted around his walls of his locker room and such. That's his desire, to have a family environment filled with great character kids who demonstrate incredible leadership. His destination is to have this program that is player-led, that is special, that attracts, okay? These are his destinations. That's what he's ultimately continuing to get there. And it's, when you get to that destination, you also don't let up either, okay? Right? Like, it's a never-ending maintaining of the destination, right? If you're in shape, right, your goal is to get, you know, toned up. Well, once you get toned up, you don't let go there. Right now, you have to maintain it to continue living at that destination. But one thing that's really interesting with Coach Hurd, just using him as an example, because he's invested so much time, and the time that he invests is every mid-August through the early part of November, however long their season goes. We're now talking a series of three, almost 4 months, essentially we'll say 4 months, almost 16 weeks, 1 hour a week, every Thursday from 3 to 4 between August and November. His program, not just varsity, but JV as well, goes through Lead 'Em Up every single Thursday. He is so committed on every Thursday that I'll never forget. It was 2 years ago. Something was wrong with my throat. I couldn't talk. I had lost my voice and was drinking honey and tea, and I think I had just come off some travel with doing a lot of speaking engagements. So my voice was completely shot. Texted him the night before, told him, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I don't know if I can do it, because when I'm speaking to the group, it's about 60, 70 kids. So I've got to project the voice. And I remember I've been around many coaches where if I give even the slightest bit of doubt that I can make it the next day, they just cancel it. Okay. They'll just be like, oh, listen, let's not push it. Let's not push it. Let's just go ahead and reschedule it, and we'll move it to next week. You can see that, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's how most coaches are. Like, the moment have ability to skip the leadership program, they're like, okay, all right, I'm out. He literally pushed me to be a last-minute game-time decision. He was like, all right, well, text me in the morning. Let me know how you're feeling. You know, I don't want to cancel this. This is what we do, Adam. And I was like, I get it. Text me in the morning. So I text him in the morning. Man, still not good. Later in the afternoon, around lunchtime, how you feeling today? How you feeling? Any better? I'm like, still not good. He ended up pushing me to continue doing the session and basically offered to supplement any parts where he would do some of the speaking and I could just help kind of facilitate it in a more small scale. We went ahead in the session. I didn't really talk much. I had him kind of facilitate it. We end up incorporating an activity that didn't really require me to speak a lot during the session. Listen, the reason I bring that up, he's invested so much into this desire to create the destination he wants. He's invested so much time. Because of that investment, he doesn't want to lose it. He is fearful in a healthy way of losing the momentum that has been gained. Right. He has traveled a long way in the direction of where he wants to go, that the last thing that he wants to have happen is to get off path, to get off track at this point. He's so close to the destination. Some would argue he's already at that destination with this program, but in his mind, he probably just thinks he's close, right? Because he's probably never satisfied in a healthy way. Because of that investment, because he's traveled so far down the direction that's leading him to where he wants to go, he doesn't want to lose it. He doesn't want to have it disrupted. And that's one thing of the power of investment. When you begin to invest in it significantly and you make strides and you are moving in the direction towards that destination, you become even more bought in, even more committed, because the last thing you want to do is lose the progress you made. That's why investing time and resources and money and gaining the momentum around that direction is so, so critical, because it'll force you to be in a position where going back isn't an option.
Yeah, you can't stomach the thought of it.
Can't stomach the thought of it. Great set. Yeah, well said.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great, great lesson for all of us to take away there from Coach Hurd is, you know, when you have that culture and you know that feeling that comes with it as a coach, you just want to hold on to it. You want to bottle it up and you want to maintain it. And if you don't have that investment, if the younger players don't see what it takes to get there, if they don't see the direction, it can't just be for the older players, but the younger players have to see the direction of what it takes to get there too.
Yeah. You know, I would say, just in wrapping up from my perspective, and then anything that you want to share here in a moment, do everything you can, work as hard as you possibly can to get as close to the destination as possible. And the moment you get close to that destination and you begin to feel it, taste it, experience it, and live it and see it, there won't be any going back. It'll change your entire perspective. It'll change everything. Just do everything you can to get close to that destination, right? Because then once you're close and you can almost feel it in your grasp, man, at that point, I would love to go back to your numbers and see if I would love to do a recount, restudy of sorts. It won't be me doing it, but if someone out there listening has the time and maybe they want to make an assignment in a college level class of sorts, I would love to hear the results on this. But like you said, 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February. Okay. You said anecdotally, most workout plans fail. We agree on that. Most dieting plans don't reach their full potential. Okay. They fail along the way. I would love to know where the threshold point is, that if you can get over the hump, at the X hump, then it increases your chances of failing, or of not failing, to like 90%. So like, because there is a curve on these quotes, I'd have to imagine. Let's take like, sure. Let's just take me and let's just take myself getting in shape. Okay. I'm relatively good shape. I would probably love to get even more tone. Okay. As would most likely everybody. And you're working. At what point do I begin to see the progress where I've kind of got over that hump? Okay. Where now I'm out now actually noticeably recognizing the differences. I wonder what the failure rate is at that point.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but usually you see somewhere around like 66 days, somewhere in there, to build the habit. And then once that has been formed, you know, you can kind of take off and avoid those plateaus. But I would be interested to see that in the team perspective as well. That'd be a great study.
Yeah, I just believe, like, once again, if you can get close to that destination, if you begin to see it, feel it, experience it, once you just get there to that point, not at the actual destination, but you just see it in the sights, right? Dorothy to the Oz, right? I see the Oz out in the distance. I'm almost there. When you begin to see it and it's within reach, my guess is people don't fail often when they get to that point. They've gotten over the hardest part.
Right. You get more motivated and more momentum behind the action.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle, anything you want to end us with here?
Yeah, this kind of, I think, summarizes a lot of what we talked about here. I took this from Robin Sharma. I've read a couple of his books, and anyone out there that's a big reader, I would highly recommend Robin Sharma. But this was from the 5 a.m. Club. And he says, the smallest implementations is always worth more than the grandest of intentions. Mm-hmm. So our desire is our intention, right? And a lot of us have big intentions, but again, start small, build the direction. And even if it's just a small daily thing that you're doing, but once you do that, like you said, the momentum carries itself. So I think that's key for a lot of us, is focusing on the smallest of implementations.
And I don't know the quote for who exactly said this, but it's famous, probably been recycled many times, but the path to hell is lined with great intentions. I know that's a very in-your-face statement, but the reality is, Listen, even those that end up in very difficult, very unfortunate positions set out in the beginning with great intentions. Okay.
Well, I got one more for you that you just popped into my head is I ask this question to my students as well when we kind of cover some of this is what's the richest place in the world? What would your answer be to that? What's your number one guess?
I've heard this before, so I know the answer.
Okay. For anyone that doesn't know the answer, we give it to our students. This is our athletes. It's the graveyard. And there lies all of the great ideas, some of the best ideas the world's ever had, but no one took the small steps, the intention to bring them to life. So
coaches, hopefully today, helped to give you a little momentum, right? That on some of those desires that you're admitting that you've been procrastinating on, that you've been pushing off, that you haven't been giving the time and attention. You are guilty of dreaming and continuing to dream big dreams, but not put the systems and strategies and accountability in place to get there. Hopefully today's episode encouraged you to do so, right? Gave you that little push, that immediate little spirit of momentum to begin putting the things in place to help you get to that destination. We appreciate you so much listening. As always, I'm Adam. This is Coach Kyle. Have fun and lead them up.
We want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for partnering with us on the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Chick-fil-A is mostly well known for their incredible original chicken sandwich and those amazing waffle potato fries. But what people might not understand is there is a lot more going on behind the counter. You see, every Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated by someone who deeply cares for their community and for their team. So next time you get an urge to go buy a Chick-fil-A, remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. We are thankful to Chick-fil-A and thankful for you for listening. So until next time, have fun and lead them up.